Oh, it's good to be back. It's great to be back. And to share this message with you. And Lord, we just pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and we block every barrier that Satan would put up, so that by your Holy Spirit there will be links between the word of the living God and the things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the sower. Jesus had a great multitude gathered, which included his disciples and certain women who helped to support him financially. And so we read, "And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we must also see that as the target of our finances. We must support ministries that bring people into the kingdom of God. It was incredibly humble of Jesus to accept help from these women. He could have made a fortune just turning water into wine. Can you imagine it? You know, just bring in the water, sell the wine. Yeah, it would have been a great shop. The rabbis refused to teach women, generally assigning them to inferior positions. But the humility of Jesus rubs off on his followers, with Joanna, whose husband is in a very respected position, sharing the company of Mary Magdalene, who had demons thrown out of her. Humility opens the door for the gospel. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke a parable. His fame had spread to every city, and they came to see for themselves. You know, no wonder Christianity grew so fast, so that their numbers grew daily. So you read in Acts, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." People are often searching for answers, and they do want solutions to the problems of life. And Jesus teaches, and he says, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." This is a promise. This is a promise. Satan knows all people have this emptiness, but he seeks to fill it with rubbish. So you've got an empty heart. Fill it with rubbish. The first step of asking, seeking, knocking is always a person's responsibility. They have to do the asking, the seeking, the knocking. So, a sower. I missed this so many times. Got it this time. A sower. This person was known as a sower. He sowed seeds in lots of places. Jesus mentions 4 of them. People may not have known the sower's name, but they all know the bloke who sowed. Seeds are tiny. You can drop them wherever you go. And when the angels of heaven chat about you, do they know you as the sower? You can imagine this conversation in heaven, and they're chatting. "Ah, did you hear what Callan did last week?" "No." "Who's Callan?" "You know, the guy at Darlington." "No." "The sower guy." "Oh, the sower. The sower. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the guy. Everybody knows the sower. Yeah." This guy's the sower. A sower. A sower went out. And what did he do? The sower went out. Whoops. Whoops. Just too clicky. So went out to sow his seed. His deliberate goal was to sow his seeds. They were his seeds. not borrowed seeds. When John talks about the witnesses in life, he mentions three witnesses, 1 John. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. The three witnesses of our life on earth are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These are what will testify of our walk on earth. The Spirit refers to how you have responded to the Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit is evident in our worship, in our service, in our wisdom, in our correction, in our humility. Well, I encourage you in your worship, let it go. Worship with body, soul, and spirit. And if you're embarrassed about it, do it at home, alone. Get on it. If you've never tried kneeling when you pray, kneel when you pray. Body, soul, and spirit. The work of God is in you. There's something that happens. There's something that happens when you kneel. You're all alone, in your bedroom, in your study, whatever. Try it. See it. There's something that happens in your guts when you kneel before the Creator. Water refers to what you've been born into. Our race, our wealth, country, suburb, family, gender, health, education, talents. You're all individuals. We are. The blood refers to our trials. How has our faith in God helped us respond to the hard things in life that have shaped our resilience and our personality? These three things bear witness. These three elements form the foundation of who you are. They are the composition of your soul. They are the most powerful testimony you can share. You know, when you speak about what God has done for other people, it can be good. But when you speak of what God has done in your life, it is always powerfully anointed. It is your seed. What has God done in your life? The best example of this is found in the account on the road to Emmaus. And we read, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And it was when he took the bread. Now you can imagine this. This is just a few days after the crucifixion. That horrific week. The horrific week after the magnificent Sunday of Hosanna. When they put branches on the road. And he had already thought, I am the bread of life. And he taught it and he broke the bread and says, take and eat. And he taught about his body broken. And here he is. And these guys don't know who he is. Expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is me. This is him. This is this. This is the Messiah. This just must have been an amazing meal. I mean, who cares about the food? You're sitting there and you're stunned. And then he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. This is the Son of God, the bread of life, takes the bread and breaks it. And they've just seen the crucifixion and the resurrection. And he took the bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. What a night! What a night! You've gone through this last month of just amazing things happening. This guy who they picked up along the way, on the way to Emmaus, comes and he opens the word of the living God and he shows the Messiah. And he goes scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and they've got it, and they've got it, and they've got it. And then he takes the bread and he breaks it. The bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Bang! This is the ultimate explosion of witness. The whole personality of the Son of God shone like the sun. Now the sower went out to sow. Hopefully, if the sower was from Darlington Christian Fellowship, the night before, after thanking God for something and after confessing a sin, he might have got to step three in the prayer, "What can I do for you tomorrow?" And you know, the mundane stuff of your daily itinerary, whatever you've got planned, is just a structure for which we can serve God. I gave you that really complicated crossword that I formed all by myself. And the question was, what is the difference between going to the shop to buy milk and going to the shop to plant seeds for God? And I hope some of you got it. I gave you the first letter, heart. Heart. Yeah, it's good, it's good. And it's just put off dementia, Ruth. Yes. Right, so our hearts need to be set for serving God. The preparations of the heart belong to man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Wow. Our continual task is to prepare our hearts to serve God. When the opportunity comes to speak out for him, his Holy Spirit will give you the words. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Jesus explains. Now, the parable is this. The word, the seed, is the word of God. The very unveiling of the heart and mind of God is shown in the life of Jesus. Now we are taught in Proverbs, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. It is when we deliberately ask God, what can I do for you tomorrow? So you're in bed, just before you shut your eyes. You've thanked God because grumpiness just leads to covetousness, doesn't it? Wipe it out. You've confessed a sin because humility is essential. You look for it. You clean up. And you've said to God, what can I do for you tomorrow? That we seek to attentively follow the path he has assigned for us. That's why step three of the homework is so important. What can I do for you tomorrow? It's all anchored in thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that Jesus taught us to pray. The sower deliberately went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, I'm completely lost. Luke 8:5 is what I'm after. Oh, no. Yeah, there. No. And as he sowed. Good. As he sowed. Some fell on the wayside and it was trampled down and the birds of the air devoured it. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word. Where does he take it away from? Out of the hearts. Takes the word out of the hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. When we pray for our prodigals, we pray that the seeds that have been planted day after day will not be lost. There's no training for parenthood, and many mistakes are made on the way, but the story of the prodigal has a happy ending. Nevertheless, even Jesus himself has Judas betraying him. You know, whenever the word is preached, Satan is at work trying to take it from the heart. It's the last place he wants the word to hit is the heart, not the mind. If he can get people to debate a point just mentally, it's worked. So we pray for God's word to hit hearts. When we love God, in Mark 12:30, the first place is love the Lord your God with all your heart, then with all your soul, mind and strength. But the heart The heart is the important thing. I encourage you to sharpen your prayers. Look for the weapons of warfare that the enemy is using against people who God has put on your heart, so that seeds planted will be plucked out. Some of the targets the enemy aims at are media. Half-truths are a brilliant trick because you think, that's true, so you grab the whole lot. Anti-Christian, idolatry, blasphemy, entertainment, violence, lust, normalising what is evil, games, defilement of the land, smoking ceremonies, dedication of the land to ancient spirits. The word is clear. Whatever spirit does not acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is of the devil. Abortion, LGBTQ stuff, idolatry in sport, violence, finances, mortgage worries, cost of living, pets, holidays, investments, giving, health, diet, exercise, bad habits, mental health, depression, loneliness, failures, bad decisions, sloth, and the targets of the enemy, the head, the heart, the arms, the vulnerable bits. In your prayers for the prodigals, in the prayers that people have put on your heart, look for the target and bind it and break it. You have to do that. The scriptures are there. We are at war, people. Prayer isn't just a thing you do. Prayer is a warfare. And warfare is you look for the weapon of the enemy and you break it in the name of Jesus. You bind the enemy, cast them out. Lord, that enemy has stolen the seeds that have been put. And the world is distracted, and I bind and I break it in the name of Jesus. All authority I give to you. That's what Jesus has said. Some fell on the rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. It's a great delusion to think that just knowing about God is enough. Knowing must be relational. We must grow in our walk with God. Growth requires prayer. I've given you the routine before you shut your eyes. Thank God for something, confess. Proverbs says, you know, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Unless we look for our sin, we do not understand how it is to give or receive mercy. Ask God what you can do for him tomorrow. Ask him for something. It's just a start. We need to converse with God, converse with Jesus all day. We must listen to the Holy Spirit and ask for his help. Step one. Jesus says clearly, my sheep hear my voice. You listen to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must read and study the Bible. I encourage you to read, write notes, make links. It's only in reading the scriptures that we understand and grasp what is the heart and the mind of God. Grab the prophets, grab Isaiah through to Malachi and read it and find the heart of God. Thirdly, Christian friends are essential. We must build up each other. Fellowship is so important for growth, for correction, for encouragement, for compassion, for healing. These three components are like a plant with roots in fertile ground. Temptations are constant and we need to be well grounded to fight them. Reading the Bible returns our minds to the heart and the will of God. It contradicts temptation. Worship contradicts, stifles temptation. Prayer is our cry for help. Christian friends often shut and open doors to deepen our walk with God. A plant without moisture looks dead and withered. It's like a marriage without hugs. It's like a hymn that is just music and words, like prayer without thanks and repentance. It's like Bible study where there's no change of behaviour. And some fell among thorns and sprang up, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. Now when they The ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. There's nothing more satisfying in this life than bearing spiritual fruit for God. But the cares, riches, pleasures of life can smother our desire to walk in purity before God. You know, the weeds are an impurity. In the Old Testament, the word for pure is bah. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Satan uses cares, riches, pleasures to defile our obedience to God, the commandments. When we learn God's laws, when we heed them, when we look at them, there is no hidden motive, just love, growth, protection for us. And the heart behind the rule is what's important, God's heart. Interestingly, this word bah is also used in the Song of Songs for favourite. When the Shulamite is in the company of her mum, my dove, my perfect one, is the only one of a mother, the favourite, the one who bore her. This describes the relationship between mum and the daughter, pure, favourite, absolute pure. And then in the next verse, the same word, bar, is translated as clear. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun? This relationship that's there to teach us about the commandments being pure is like purity. It's like being the favourite thing we want. It is like being as clear as the sun, so bright that you cannot see anything, any imperfections. It is powerful beyond our perception. We're given the sun to understand righteousness. For the sun of righteousness, S-U-N, shall arise with healing in his wings. You can't look at the sun. The sun of righteousness. Purity heals us. Grumpiness, lack of humility, greed, idolatry, all lead to sickness. You know, we are given sickness to understand the impact of sin in the walk of our life. The cares, riches, pleasures of life are like a sick plant that doesn't bear fruit. Why have you got sickness? To understand what sin is doing in our lives. To not bear fruit. But others fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And the ones that fell on the ground, good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, age is not a barrier when bearing fruit for God. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Isn't that magnificent? And we see that in this church. We never know how well people have responded to the seeds that we have sown. Sometimes we're blessed to find out years later that people have actually been blessed. But our duty is to sow. The sower goes out to sow. Someone else might have ploughed the ground, and God may have prepared people for a time to receive the seed, his word. God prepares the heart to be noble and good. And the word for noble, kale or kalos, it means beautiful. A beautiful heart, lovely, worthy, honourable, noble, visibly good. So there's a huge work in people's hearts being done before the seed is planted. Christian parents work hard to prepare their children. Nothing works better than a good example. We aim for fruit, even the smallest fruit. And then, patience. Patience. Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Patience is the word hupomone. Hupomone, to remain under. Sometimes translated as perseverance, steadfastness, endurance. We saw before the three witnesses, the spirit, the water, and the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the trials of life. And you have remained under and remained faithful. The noble and good heart is learning to overcome trials. It is in these times we turn to God with cries for help. Satan says, ditch God. You say, no, I will remain steadfast, even to remain under perseverance. In Paul's teaching and in battle. In Ephesians 6, he inspires us with the words, and having done all, still stand. Having done all, still stand. Then his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. You know, in the scriptures, there's blatant wisdom that is blocked from the proud and sinful heart. John 3 says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The second step to salvation is to admit we are sinners. The world doesn't want to admit that. They want some heaven where you go up there and play golf and whatever. No idea about the person of God. The proud heart cannot know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They can see and hear, but they completely miss the revelation of God. I've told you that a fundamental theorem of understanding everything is that everything in the physical is there for you to understand the spiritual. That's why Jesus taught in parables. You don't need a PhD to get it. Okay, people need to be born again. One, you see that God is real. Two, you admit you're a sinner. Three, you accept the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came and died and paid the penalty for your sins. And four, so desperately important, you can get to one, two, three. You can know about God. Can be there, gone to church, whatever. Four is the commitment of your heart. I will make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Bang! Thy kingdom come. Not mine. Thy will be done. Not mine. Jesus, you are the Lord. Whatever you tell me, I do. Here's a closing thought. The psalmist Asaph proclaims, my flesh and my heart fail. Ha! We can relate to that, can't we? My flesh and my heart fail. Yep, that's me. Yep. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion sometimes. No, I misread it. Lucky you haven't got tomatoes to throw at me. Yep. God. Yes, Sandra, I saw the smile. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart fail. Yes, you can find a million faults in me. Yes. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, it's almost bordering on arrogant to think that we can own a part of God, but He's given us His Holy Spirit. The word portion means inheritance, legacy, share, booty. Booty from food or land, whatever, in a conquering thing. This is what He's got. Even the minutest atom of God in our character is incredible. Our flesh and our heart fail all the time. We walk in a fallen world and fail. You know, why did God create night and day? So that we could understand that even the tiniest candle can defeat the darkest night. So, be determined to shine for God. Be determined to sow seeds. The smallest word, God bless you. The smile, the thanks, the helping hand are advances for the kingdom of God. The sower goes out to plant his seeds. See this little light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. Why do we keep up the fight? Because God is the strength of our heart and our portion forever. Having done all, still stand. The point of going to the shops is not to buy the milk, it's to plant seeds. You happen to buy the milk when you're there. The point of going to work is not to earn money, it's to plant seeds. You happen to earn money, they pay you for that. The point of the birthday party is not to eat the cake, it's to plant seeds. You happen to have really nice, delicious cake while you're there. But the point is to plant seeds. Thy kingdom come. We will never lose because we have God as our portion forever. A little bit before we sing Such Love, it's just an old Sunday school song. See this little light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. And, you know, when I went to Christchurch, grammar school that is, not New Zealand, the war cry, we had this war cry, come on Christchurch, give it all you got, never give in, now we're not on Christchurch, CCGS, okay, it's still in my brain 55 years later. I was into sport in a big, big way. But it's a war cry. And this war cry that we have, that we will plant seeds, it needs to be there, prominent in our thoughts. Never give in now, we're not on. We plant the seeds, we plant the seeds. And this song, see this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Darlington, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over WA, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So, before we go into Such Love, let's sing this, and you sing it not as the Sunday school kid, you sing it with guts, in the bottom of your gut saying, I'm going to let it shine. Okay? Okay.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Is Satan saying to you, your seeds are pathetic? Rubbish. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Father, I pray for these people here and myself. I pray that we will sow seeds today, this week. We want to set out to do stuff for you. We want to pray, your kingdom come. Not our kingdom, yours. We want to pray, your will be done. Not ours, yours. Always yours. And we bind every attack of the enemy in our lives and on the seeds we sow and in our prodigals, we bind them in the name of Jesus. We ask for the insight of your Holy Spirit to show us the things that need to be bound and broken, Lord God, so that the seeds that have been planted will bear fruit. What we want is your kingdom to come. So I pray for your holy anointing on these people. Lord, your anointing. Your Holy Spirit to change the way we go to work, to change the way we go to the shops, to change the way we talk to neighbours, because our business isn't to buy milk, our business isn't to work, to earn money, our business is to sow seeds for you, and the other stuff is just there. But we are there to sow seeds. See this little light of mine? We're going to let it shine. 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 Your kingdom come. Amen. Amen. God bless you, people.
Rob, just...